Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Good morning. So excited for you to be here today. My name is Rob, and I'm one of the pastors, and lots of new faces here today. So if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, I would love to meet you at some point. I'll be hanging out in the lobby afterwards, but so honored that you chose to be here today. Whether you're new or this is your church and you come every week, I want to invite you to participate in following along with what you're about to hear through an app called YouVersion. And this app is a free app. You can actually use it all throughout the week to get into the Bible, but it has a live page where you can get a little bit more out of what you're about to hear. There's a place for you to take notes. All the scriptures are going to be in there. There's a question of the week. You can give online. If you have prayer requests, you can give through this app. So take a second. Take a chance, why don't you, and download that, try to follow along that way. Well, today we're kicking off a brand new series entitled Best Decade Ever, and what we're going to be doing in this series is we're going to be looking at some of the best decades ever, and each week we're going to focus on one of those decades, and for this week, we're going to focus on the 70s. How many of you would say that the 70s were the best decade ever? Not a lot of love for the 70s. Wow. All right. Well, the 70s, I personally don't have any memories of the 70s. I was born in 1978, so I don't remember much of the 70s. If you were around during the 70s, you may not remember much, but that's for a whole nother reason. We won't even get into that. I don't know a lot about the 70s, except for what I know through pop culture, because I happen to study and love the history of pop culture. And I know that the 70s were very significant for pop culture. There were some things that they brought to the table that have actually shaped our world and shaped how we live today. Like, maybe you didn't know this, but if you were a big fan of movies, the summer movie season started with a movie that came out in the 70s. It was a little film directed by Steven Spielberg called Jaws. Anyone seen Jaws? Okay, all right, there we go. Now, here's a couple things I want to point out about Jaws, because this is fascinating to me, because I wasn't around when this movie came out. It says, this is the tagline, the most terrifying motion picture from the terrifying number one bestseller, Jaws. And at the very bottom of the screen, it tells you the rating of the movie, PG. That's why some of you don't remember the 70s. It was a crazy time. Like, your parents brought you to that film, and you've had nightmares ever since. You will not go to the beach. That is crazy. They did not have PG-13 in the 70s, and so I don't know why that movie wasn't rated R. It is scary as all get out. Still to this day, that movie is scary, but it's PG. A few years after that movie, a movie came out that literally changed the way that we watch movies. Not only that, it changed marketing for movies and toys that now are tie-ins to movies. It changed the whole landscape of movies. They became more than just something that you watch. It now became something that you participate in and that you can collect. And that movie came out in 1977, and it was none other than Star Wars. Anyone a fan of Star Wars? Okay. See, some of y'all don't hate the 70s as much as you thought you did. Had Jaws and Star Wars. Star Wars, though, is so significant because today, literally, people are following the marketing strategy of Star Wars still to this day. And Star Wars, if you think about it, 1977 seems like so long ago, and yet we're still making Star Wars films now. Like, who's excited about the new Star Wars film coming out in December? Yeah, all right. I'm gonna have to find something you guys like. This is a very disjointed crowd. Like, who likes pizza? Right there. There we go, next series is gonna be called Pizza. Holy cow. Okay, well, Star Wars. A lot of the world loves Star Wars. Only about 7 of you in here love Star Wars. But if you don't love Star Wars, maybe you love this one. Because in 1978, there was only one word, and Grease is the word. Anyone remember that film? All right. So we love Grease. We don't love Star Wars. That's. I used to think you were my people. I'm not relating very much to this hour, but I still love you. The 70s were also known for fashion. And this is a picture from a literal fashion catalog. They had matching suits for your husband and your wife. Those are just awful. Like, I don't really, sometimes my wife and I, we accidentally match, like we wear the same t-shirt and we feel embarrassed and we're like in our home together. I can't imagine walking out in that with her. One thing though that I discovered from the 70s is that apparently in the 70s, the fashion was to wear your pants really, really high, because all of the fashion magazines had their pants up to their chest. Like, I don't even know how you bend over with those pants that high. Like, that is crazy. High pants and really thick mustaches were in style thanks to Magnum PI in the 70s. That is just straight awful. The 70s, though, also produced some just historically popular toys. Did anyone have one of these? Anyone? Yeah, Speak and Spell. Now, this is interesting to me because this was this actually carried through the 80s. I remember as a kid having a Speak and Spell, and the thing that is hilarious about this is it's not a toy. It, like, teaches you how to spell. Like, kids these days have, like, actual games that they play. We were so deprived back then, we were like, spell words. This is so fun. 8-hour road trip to grandma's, and I'm spelling. Like, if you're a kid in the 90s or 2000s, you had it amazingly awesome. Anyone remember these toys? They were popular. Rock'em Sock'em Robots, really popular. Now, there was one toy that I think speaks volumes for the whole decade of the 70s. It is a toy that I do not understand. And I don't know if it was popular because the 70s were just a more simplistic time, or maybe people were just more naive. But one of the most popular toys for a time period in the 70s was the Pet Rock. That is a legit toy, okay? Now, just get this, because this is just awful. People paid $3.95 for a Pet Rock. It came in a box, it had a name, people collected them. The inventor of the Pet Rock made $1.5 million off rocks. Like, what an awful time period to live in, the 70s. That is awful. Music, though, music was big in the 70s. There was lots of iconic rock and roll that came out of the 70s. Disco started in the 70s and ended in the 70s. Some people loved it and hated it. Music was very iconic. Now, here's something that you may not know. Maybe you didn't grow up in the 70s, maybe you haven't studied the history of the 70s, but something significant for Christians happened in the 70s. There's a movement called the Jesus Movement, and it was started by a group of hippies who actually really loved Jesus, and they were so loud and proud about their relationship with Jesus that the culture actually called them Jesus freaks. And this Jesus culture, it really issued in this movement of experiencing the presence of God, doing more than just sitting in church, but actually experiencing his presence and the spiritualness of it. And it was this whole group of hippies, and they influenced music. Their music sounded a lot like the music of the 70s. And so today, like at Next Level and lots of churches around America, the music sounds somewhat like the culture today. That is because of what was started in the Jesus movement. There were artists who were writing songs on their guitars and were sounding like the songs everyone else was singing on the radio, but they were sung to Jesus. And those songs ended up making their way into the church. Now, Next Level Church is only 3 years old, so we weren't even thought of in the 70s. But if we were a church in the 70s, there is no doubt in my mind that our music would have reflected the times of the 70s. In fact, there's no doubt in my mind that if we were a church in the 70s, we would have looked and sounded something like this. Check this out.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I'm a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
My friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine. He taught me how to live my life as it should be. He taught me how to turn my cheek when people laugh at me. I've had friends before, and I can tell you that he's the one who'll never leave you flat.
How to save my soul. He taught me how to praise my God and still play rock and roll. The music may sound different, the message is the same. It's just an instrument to praise his name.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is my friend.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
I have a friend in Jesus.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine.
Jesus is a friend of mine. tried to run. I tried to run and hide. But Jesus came and found me, and he touched me down inside. He is like a Mountie, he always gets his man. And he'll zap you any way he can. Zap! Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm a friend in Jesus. Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is a friend of mine. Jesus is a friend of mine.
He loves me when I'm right. He loves me when I'm wrong. He loves me when I waste my time by writing silly songs. He loves me when I'm quiet and I have nothing to say. He'll love me when I'm perfect if I ever get that way.
Now you can see why no one picked the 70s as their favorite decade, because of stuff like that. That was awful and awesome at the same time. The 70s, though, it was a great decade. It was a great decade to look back on, and over the next few weeks, we're going to look back on some other great decades. But here is the bottom line of the series, that it is fun to look back at something, but it is dangerous to live in the past. It's okay to go back and look and say, hey, I like the movies from back then. I like some of the music from back then. It's fun to look back at the fashion and maybe old school pictures, but it is incredibly dangerous when we live in the past. In fact, psychologists have said that one of the number one addictions in America today is living in the past. That it is not something that we just kind of do to reminisce, but it is actually something that stops us from experiencing life today. I love what psychologist Tom Ferry says. He says, the past is nothing more than a story we tell ourselves. Continuing to tell that story, verbally or non-verbally, eventually turns it into a reality. That the past is a story that you tell yourself, and when you play that story over and over again, it ends up becoming your reality. And consequently, when your reality is your past, you're no longer living in the present, and you're going to miss out on the future. And so many of us have taken time and focused on the past, either because of past successes or because of past failures, that something happened and it was so remarkable to us, either negatively or positively, that it has shaped us and we can't let it go. This is the people that when you go to a party, you're not telling new stories that you're creating, you're telling old stories from way back when, yesteryear, when you were in high school or college. This is people who don't like even new entertainment and resist new entertainment because it's not as good as the past. These are people who have a hard time moving to the future because something either so great or so awful happened in a period of time that they've just stopped living their life. There are, in fact, five things from our past that can define our future. There are five events, and maybe you've experienced one of these events, but there's something that happened in your past, and it is now defining your future. These five pasts that define our future are, number one, unresolved issues with family. Number one is unresolved issues with family. At some point in your past, something happened in your family, and maybe it was just too difficult to talk about, that it was too awkward, it was too tough to bring up. Maybe you were a kid, and you didn't know how to bring it up to your parents, and your parents weren't talking about it, and so something happened, an event happened, and no one's talked about it. And there's been no resolve, and there's been no solution to the problem. You've just moved on. And people act like they're living their life now, and they act like they move on, but whenever you get together with these family members, it brings up all sorts of hurt and pain because you are living in the past from something that has happened, an unresolved issue from family. Number two is a desire to reunite with an ex. A desire to reunite with an ex. One of the things that will define your future is when you hold on to a past relationship. And listen, if you're a middle school or high school student or even early college, you do not have to listen to me on this. You'll probably roll your eyes and totally disagree, but one of the best things I ever did was I chose very carefully who I was going to date. And I did not just date everyone, because you have no idea who you're going to date and how it's going to impact you in the future. And so don't just go around and date a bunch of people and just think, oh, I just need some experience. I just need to grow. I just want to find someone that likes me. You have no idea what someone that you connect with could have, the impact they could have on you in the future. So just be careful. be careful. For me personally, I chose that if I was going to date, it was going to be someone that I could potentially marry. And I was going to go into the relationship with prayer and say, hey, God, is this what you're leading me to do? I wasn't just going to jump around in relationships because your heart is a funny thing. And when someone has your heart, it can lead all sorts of heartbreak when that relationship ends. So be careful, because a lot of people are missing out on their future. Because when times go difficult in their current relationship, they start thinking about all the great times they had in a past relationship. And so often, people, instead of working on their current relationship, they daydream about the past. Number three, the pain of a past decision. The pain of a past decision. There is a decision that you made. This isn't something that was done to you. This is a decision that you made, and you may have done it consciously. Like, you decided to do this, but now that time has passed, you feel regret about that decision. And that decision that has happened, it has marked you. And instead of moving on to your future, instead of moving into a new relationship, into a new phase, you continually repeat and rethink about that old regret. Number four is hurt caused by other people. Hurt caused by other people. So this isn't something that you've done. This is something that someone did to you. And you cannot control other people. And someone's going to hurt you at some point. You have expectations that you put on people, and they can't meet your expectations. And at some time, somebody is going to hurt you, either willingly or unwillingly, they're going to hurt you. And for some of us, we've been so marked by the hurt of someone else that we haven't been able to move on to our future. Because what they did to you 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you are still dealing with the consequences of that pain today. And they may have moved on and forgotten about how they've hurt you, but you haven't forgotten. And so you're missing out on your future because of what happened in your past. And number five is past success that you don't think you can repeat. Past success that you don't think you can repeat. This is actually a good thing that happened to you. This happened to you at some point in your life, and it was so good in your mind you think, I'll never be able to get back to that. This is that high school athlete that knows his best days were his 11th and 12th grade year of high school. This is that person who got stuck in about 1985 with fashion. If you go to any Walmart in America today and just people watch, you will see a woman whose hair looks like it got blown up in about 1985 and it hasn't gone back down. You will see women, I see this all the time, you'll see women who walk around with shoulder pads on and they do not play football. They got into a fashion of shoulder pads in their shirts and they're like, this is my jam, this is what I'm sticking to, this I love 1985 and I will not leave 1985. This is the dude that has a mullet. At some point in 1978, it was fashionable, and he has refused to cut his hair since then. Even though he's bald up top, he has now got a skullet, but he is rocking it. Past successes that you don't think you can repeat often end up messing up your future, because you think there's no way I can have a new relationship that was as good as that relationship. There's no way I can find a new church that was as good as my last church. There's no way I can find a new future that was as good as what I had in that time period. And so often, our past ends up defining our future, which causes us to miss out on what God wants for us. Here's the bottom line of today. You will miss your future by living in your past. You will miss your future by living in your past. You have a past. Every single one of us has a past. But God doesn't want you to live in the past. He wants you to move on to the future. But you will miss your future if you constantly are thinking about and dwelling on your past, either a past that was done to you or a past that you did. No matter if you love your past or you hate your past, the truth of the matter is you cannot change your past. It is your past. And so you have to learn how to move from your past into your future. And today, if that's you, if you've ever been stuck living in the past, especially if you've had any type of regret, psychologists say that the number one cause of unhappiness in people is regret. And so if that's you, if you struggle with happiness, if you struggle with finding meaning and purpose, if you are constantly living in the past, today's talk is for you. Our text for the day, it comes from a guy that can speak perfectly into this situation. His name is Paul, and Paul is a major primetime player in the Bible. He's a guy, if you're new to the church, you might not have a clue who Paul is. Well, Paul is very important to us because Paul became a Christian, and then he was the one that led Christianity around the world. If it weren't for him, Christianity would have stayed in Jerusalem. It would have stayed as a kind of a cult-type sect of the Jewish religion. But Paul's the one that started going on missionary journeys around the world. And everything we experience today is because Paul followed Jesus, his calling to go around the world and to preach the gospel. So Paul, though, is perfect to speak into this situation because Paul is a guy that has a past. In fact, if you're new to the church, maybe you don't know about this about Paul, but Paul wasn't always called Paul. Early on, he was called Saul. And when he was Saul, he had such a past that it is something that any of us would have tried to run away from or forget. In Paul's past, he actually approved of Christians being killed simply for being Christians. In Paul's past, he actually went around and arrested Christians. He would pull them out of their homes. He would pull them out of these secret churches they were meeting in. He would pull them out and he would arrest them simply for being a Christian. God rocks Saul's life. He becomes Paul and he ends up going and leading this movement called Christianity. But just so you understand how bad his past was, the first Christians that he met after becoming a Christian were scared of him. They didn't want to be around him because they thought he was going to trick them and arrest them. And so Paul has a past, and so he can speak perfectly into how do we move from our past into a future. Because it's okay to think about the past. It's okay to reminisce about the past from time to time, but it is detrimental to who you are to live in the past. And so I want to read our text in full, and then we'll break it down. And so if you'll read with me, you can follow along on the screens or follow along in YouVersion. We're going to read the whole thing, all of our text for today. Paul writes this: I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that, too, God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already obtained. All right, now that we've read the text, we're going to break it down. But before we break it down, I want to give you a chance to talk to God. And maybe you're new to the whole praying thing. Maybe you don't even know what to say. So I would just encourage you to say this: God, would you speak to my heart? And would you give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do? Would you guys take a few moments just to pray and talk to God? God, this is our prayer, that you would speak to our hearts. It is so easy for our minds to get distracted with what we have to do after the service, and it's so easy for our hearts to get focused on our past, and we just ask that right now, in our present, that you would speak clearly to us. We ask you'd break through all our distractions, all of our hurt and pain, all of our excitement, that you would break through and that you would speak in ways that only you can. And God, then we ask that you'd give us the courage to obey you, to do whatever you tell us to do. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul wrote what we just read while he was in a Roman prison. Now let me make sure that you understand what this means. When we hear prison, we think like American prison systems. They're nothing great, like none of us wants to go to prison, but American prison systems is like a hotel compared to what Paul was in. Paul was in a Roman prison, which the Roman prisons were holes in the ground that they literally dug in the ground, and there were grates over the prison. And so people, as they walked through, would literally throw their trash. People would go to the bathroom. Animals would go to the bathroom. And it would all, when it rained, it would all pour down in on to the prisoners. Paul is sitting in a dark prison that has very little light. And he is chained to a Roman guard. And why is he in prison? Because he was telling people about Jesus. This isn't because he did something horrible, because he murdered someone, because he stole something. He is literally telling people about Jesus, and this faith in Jesus is creating such a movement that the people actually caused a riot, and the Romans arrested him, and they didn't know what to do with him. So he's rotting away in a Roman prison, and he writes to his friends, some of his closest friends ever, who are in a church in Philippi that he started. And when he writes to them, he could have said, "Hey guys, I just want to tell you how bad my life is right now. Woe is me. It just is awful. Can I just tell you right now? I'm chained to this Roman prison guard. He won't even tell me his name. He has bad gas, and it is just, it is awful. The food here is bad. They only give me one meal a day, and it's mush. It's constantly, there's trash pouring in over my head. It is dark. I can barely see anything, and I didn't even deserve to be in here. I'm in here, and all I was doing was telling people about Jesus. My life is awful." He could have said that, but look at what Paul said to his friends in Philippi. He says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. What Paul is talking about here, this is some next level stuff, pun intended. This is, only two of you got that. Do you know you're at Next Level Church? Did you know? Normally you guys are way ahead of the 9:15 service, but the coffee must not have kicked in yet. This really is, though, some next level stuff, because what Paul says is, Paul says, I don't want to just know about Jesus, because knowing about Jesus doesn't change your life. You can know some facts about Jesus and it doesn't do jack squat to you. You can read some verses and memorize some things and know some facts. And Paul is not saying, I want to know about Jesus. I don't want to just know that he died and that he rose again for my sin. I want to know Jesus. Why is this so important? Because Jesus is greater than anything else you can experience in this world. Jesus is better than any high. He's better than any adrenaline rush. Jesus is the greatest thing that you can experience. And Paul says that we can actually experience Jesus. Not just learning about him, not just hearing him, not just being bored about some facts about him, but we can actually know Jesus. And then Paul says, I want to know Jesus. Yes, I really want to know him, but I want to know him so much that I even know him in the midst of suffering. I want to become like him. I want to become so like him that it is an honor for me to die. If these Romans arrest, if these Romans crucify me, if they kill me, it is an honor for me to die for Jesus. Now that is just some out there way, just different, radical. That is not mushy, gushy Christianity. That is some intense stuff that Paul says it would be his honor to suffer and die for Jesus. Now, that is contrary to a lot of our understanding of God, because the Western understanding of God is that if you have God in your life, this is what the common Americans, what a lot of us think, that if you have God, that he should protect you from any type of pain and you should never go through any suffering. And our culture currently is pushing God out of every environment that we possibly can, and then when something bad happens, we wonder, where's God? Well, God does not push himself on people. But God does redeem us in the midst of pain. And if you've ever gone through any type of brokenness or hurt or pain, then you are a prime candidate to experience the love of God. I love what Pastor Andy Stanley says about this Western mindset about pain and suffering and understanding. Look at what he says. The people who want to differentiate God from pain and evil, they're not talking about the Christian God, because from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God is in the midst of pain. Leverages pain, and here's the key, redeems pain for good because God is a redeemer. That's the essence of the gospel. The murder of an innocent son of God resulted in the salvation of the world. That's redemption. It's taking evil and leveraging it for something that's good. So if you're here today and you've ever experienced pain, you are in a perfect place to experience the love of God, because we have a God who is not absent when we go through pain, but he is very present in pain. In fact, we have a God who can relate to every pain we've been through. We have a God who is not far away and who is not distant. And so often in our life, we become closest to God when we actually go through some type of pain. And Paul says that you can get to know Jesus so closely that even if you are suffering for doing the right thing, you will consider it an honor because it's done in the name of Jesus. Paul is setting up this idea because he's about to go to his goal about what he's pushing to, because until we focus on Jesus, we'll never be able to get out of our past, because some of our past is defining us. We've been hurt. We've been marked. We've done some things that has led to regret. But look at what Paul says next. He says this, not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what Paul says is that the goal is to be so close to Jesus that no matter what you go through, you do not lose your faith in Jesus. That even if you're suffering, it is considered an honor to suffer for Jesus. That you have a goal that is ahead of you that is so much brighter and bigger than your past. And Paul is saying that right now, currently in my circumstances, it is awful. I'm sitting in a Roman prison, but I have hope because I'm not focused on me and my current circumstances. And I'm not focused on my past and how good I used to have it. I'm focused on Jesus. But then he says, guys, guess what? I don't have this yet. I haven't accomplished this. Translation, I'm still a human and I still fail and I still struggle at times. But I have a goal, and the goal is to be so close to Jesus that he gives me something to focus to that is so much bigger than my past. Look at what Paul says once more. He says this, but the one thing I do, translation, this is it. This is the one thing. He does lots of other things, but this is it. He wants you to hear this. The one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what is the one thing that Paul does? Paul says, the one thing I do is I forget the past and I strain towards the goal, which is leading me to heaven. Now, if you just took this verse out of context, you would think that Paul meant that he completely forgot about his past, that he was saying everything that's ever happened to him, he has no memory of it, he's completely let it go. But if you read the whole letter of Philippians, you see that just a few pages before he wrote this, he actually recaps some of the things that he's been through and some of his successes. So I don't think when Paul says that we are to forget the past, that he's saying that you are supposed to forget everything that's ever happened from you. I think what Paul is saying is that when we live in the past, we are focused towards our past, and all we're doing is thinking about our past. And when we're looking at our past, we're not walking forward. And Paul is saying, it's not that I've forgotten everything that's happened for me. It is now I'm focused on something that is so much greater than my past. It is turning my direction, and I'm now actually making ground away from my past. And as I walk closer to Jesus, my past gets farther and farther behind me. But as long as I'm living in my past, all I'm going to feel is regret and hurt. Well, I got choked up. That was an accident. Might have been puberty. I don't know what just happened there. As long as you are focused on your past and your hurt and your pain, you will never make progress to where God wants you to go. And so many of us are living right here, and we're living in our past, and we're looking at our past, and we're thinking about our past. And Paul is saying, hey, guys, you need to be focusing on something else, and that is your future. And where is your future? Well, ultimately, Paul says his future is in heaven. Now, this is significant for us because heaven has something that we don't have on earth. Heaven has zero regret and zero pain. And so this is a place that we can say, okay, I am going to try to strive, not from focusing on my past. I'm going to strive to focus on my future because my future is going to take me away from my past. I love what Tom Ferry, a psychologist, says. He says, cleaning up the past is a simple action of facing it. If you don't, you cannot find joy, won't find peace, and won't have true happiness if you are firmly planted in old resentment, challenges, stories about your health, your vitality, your income, and past relationships that have gone, I don't know how to pronounce that word. That's what I said. If you want to clean up your past, it is not just about ignoring it or pretending that nothing bad has ever happened to you. If you want to get over your past, you do have to face your past. And that means for some of you, you have to make a phone call today and you have to call someone and you need to say, I'm sorry. Because the past regret, it was your fault and it was something you did. And you need to make the apology. For others of you, though, it's something that someone did to you. And maybe you can't make a phone call because you're just too bitter or you're too hurt. Maybe you need to write it out on a piece of paper. Because that hurt and pain that you've kept inside, it is destroying you from living in your future. And if you want to get to the future, you've got to get it out. There are some of us in here who our hurt and our pain is so real, we've never even told our spouse. We haven't even told a best friend. It is something we are holding on. It feels so personal to us, and you need to get that out. What they did to you, when they did it, you need to write it out. And maybe you just need to type it on a piece of paper, and maybe you don't send it to anyone. Maybe you just need to burn it after you've gotten it out. But you need to face your past. Your past happened to you. You cannot go back. You cannot change it, but you got to get over it. Because if you don't get over your past, you're going to be constantly beat up by your past decisions or the past decisions of others. And some of us today, the decisions that we're making and the addictions that we're in and the choices that we make are a result of trying to cope from something that happened to us years ago. And the answer is not just to pretend like it never happened. The answer is to face it straight on and say, I'm done with you. I'm not going to allow this pain to destroy my future anymore. I'm sorry. Or even if you won't say sorry, I'm going to say, I forgive you. And we need to start moving on from our past. If we don't move from our past, we will never get to the future that God has for us. In order to forget your past, you must have a future to look forward to. In order to forget your past, you must have a future to look forward to. And Paul says the future that he has is heaven. Now, I just want to make sure you understand why this is so significant. If you're here today and you are not a Christian, then you can just totally zone out what I'm about to say. You can get on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can just totally ignore this. If you're a Christian, though, you are called by Jesus to bring heaven to earth. That the calling is not just that one day we'll get to heaven. It is that we focus on heaven and we see how great heaven is and we bring everything great about heaven, we bring it to earth until God brings us to heaven. You're called to bring heaven to earth. But you're not just called to bring heaven to earth for your neighbors and your friends and your family. You're called to bring heaven to earth to yourself. And for some of you, you are living in regret. And guess what? When you get to heaven, there is no regret. So I want to say this statement and then I'm going to preach this statement. Regret belongs in hell. It won't be in heaven, so let it go now. Let me say it again. Regret belongs in hell. It won't be in heaven, so let it go now. Some of you are living in the past because you have a regret of something you wish you would have done or you wish wouldn't have happened to you. It is a regret. There is no regret in heaven, so regret belongs in hell, and it is up to you to send your regret to hell. You have to bring heaven to earth to yourself. And if you continually live in this regret, in this state of pain, and why did this happen to me, and woe is me, and why did he do that to me, and why didn't she call, and why did they hurt me that way, and why wasn't I part of this group? As long as you live in the past, you are going to miss the future. You cannot go back and reassemble what you thought was good or bad. You can only move on, and you can only move on in a way that brings heaven to earth, both to your friends and family and to you. Regret belongs in hell. It won't be in heaven, so let it go now. So Paul goes on to conclude this section by writing this. He says, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. So what is Paul saying? Well, Paul's saying, hey, listen, if you're here today and you're not just like a casual Christian or you're not just kind of checking things out, if you're not just a Christian who's only been a Christian for a few months or weeks, if you're like been a Christian for a long time, you should be maturing in your faith. And if you're someone that is maturing in your faith, then I want you to take note of what I'm saying here. Because if you're maturing in your faith, there is no place for you to be focusing on your past. You should take the same mindset that I do and focus on your future. And Paul says, only let us live up to what we've already obtained. I love what one scholar says about this. He says, you are responsible for the truth you currently possess. You are responsible for the truth you currently possess. So what does that mean? Well, in your mind, in your thinking, you are the only one that is responsible for how you think about it. You're the only one. No one can control your thoughts. No one can control your actions. It is only you. You are responsible for the truth you possess. So if you're a Christian, the truth you possess is that you have everything inside of you because of Jesus to overcome your past. You have everything inside of you. The cross of Jesus was bigger than your sin. It was bigger than what they did to you. It was bigger than regret. Jesus has given us everything we need to move on from our past. You have everything inside of you to move on from your past if you're a Christian. But you've got to stop focusing on woe is me, my problems, and you've got to start focusing on Jesus. That means that some of us today have to do some hard work and face some ugly problems. I know it's easier just to hide from our problems. I know it's easier just to admit like we don't have problems, and it's easier just to kind of stuff these feelings deep down inside. But guys, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. And if you're not guaranteed tomorrow, why are you going to bring your past with you? Why are you going to keep focusing on these things that hurt you? I know it hurt. I know it's hard to deal with, but we need to focus on it. We need to face it. And for some of us, that means that we need to admit that the reason we're addicted to the things we're addicted to right now is because it started off as a coping mechanism to help us get over some pain in our past. But those coping mechanisms, it's like putting a Band-Aid over a gunshot wound. It's not helping you. And you keep thinking you're going to find some peace and you're going to find some joy and you just need a little bit more. And if I could just have this and there's no way I can get rid of it. Can we just be honest with ourselves? Paul says that if you're mature, you should have the same mindset. And the mindset is that you need to face your past. And you need to say that there are some behaviors in my life right now that are destroying my future. There are some things that I'm doing right now that are causing me to miss out on the future that God wants for me. And is this easy? No, this is really hard stuff. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is say you're sorry. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is look yourself in the mirror and say, I have some behaviors in my life that are not reflecting God. That is not easy stuff, but let's just play this out. If you don't have the hard conversation with yourself, and if we continue on running from our past and trying to cope with our past, we're going to destroy our future, and many of us are going to miss years with our kids, with our loved ones, because we're holding on to some hurt or pain that happened to us 5, 10, 20 years ago. So here's the application. This is something that you can do. You can put it into practice. Simply this: face your past today by finding help to get to your preferred future. Face your past today by finding help to get to your preferred future. I don't know what you need help with. I don't. I do know that every single one of us in the room has some flaws and has some failures and has some things that we run to try to get away from our past. And so whatever your thing is, it is up to you to embrace the truth to get over it. So if you don't know where to turn, let me tell you about something. There's this really cool thing that we have. They didn't have this in the 70s, but they have it today. I think that God gave it to us. It's this little thing called Google. Maybe you guys haven't heard of it, but Google is pretty cool. You can literally find help for anything that you have, and you can find Christian help and Christian support for any problem that you have. And if you don't feel safe enough to tell someone in this church about your struggle, go find help, because it is not anyone else's responsibility to help you get over your past but yours. And it's not easy. But you are the one that is destroying your potential future by holding on to your past. So let's get some help. Let's call some people. Let's make some phone calls. Let's talk to people. Let's admit that we're not perfect and that we have some struggles. And then let's watch God, because we have a God who redeems imperfect people and turns them into something beautiful. And watch as He gives us something to walk toward, as we walk away from our past and we walk towards Him. And then all of a sudden, we're not so concerned about our past and our hurt. We're actually helping other people get out of their hurt and pain. And that is the preferred future of God, that you would walk away from your hurt and pain, and as you're walking away, you would lead others to walk with you in the name of Jesus. Will you guys pray with me? God, thank you so much for this day, and thanks for the fact that we have a God who redeems imperfect people. We ask, God, right now that you would just do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, that you would take our hurt and our pain and that you would do something significant in it. God, we ask that you would take our past mistakes and our past failures, God, and that you would redeem them in ways that only you can. We ask right now in Jesus' name that you would block our minds from thinking of the negative thoughts that have torn us down, that you would block our minds from thinking about the past things that we wish we would have done, and that, God, you would help us to focus in on our future. And God, would you give us a strength that only comes from you? Would you push us, God, in love? Would you push us towards you? And would you help us focus on the life that you want for us right now so that we don't miss out on it? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.